This is CliffCentral.com.
No, that's not you. That's you.
That's me. They labeled the mics backwards to confuse us.
Ryan, you're not even on, so you can't even speak.
Yes.
Eric, silly question.
Yo.
I don't like Russian dolls.
Why not?
They're full of themselves.
I knew it!
They said they were running late. We just started.
This is incredible.
Cool, we can put that on.
Lovely.
Ryan, say something. Oh, man. There you go.
Hello? Can you hear me?
All right, what time does this thing start?
Just now.
There we go. Thanks for coming, guys. So you said you were running late.
This is late.
That's fine, 9:03, that's early.
I think I'm early.
Exactly. You think I'm trying to late. Explain to Loy that he's very professional. We're running late. No. You're running the perfect
time. Can't deal with you.
How's it, man? Good, man. How are you? Loy Simending, thank you.
Thank
Shake
you,
my hand. How's that?
Are you good?
How you doing? I'm damn fine, man. I'm a little bit hungover, Robbie.
Oh, I actually went home early for the show.
You're kidding. You went home early because you were excited about the show, like a Christmas morning.
I was in bed by 10:30.
Not excited. I just wanted to... I didn't want to be hungover.
That's good, because we have been before on the show.
Many a
time. And then you left and go, geez, that went quickly. I'm like, no, bro, it fucking dragged. Eh? You said yes 3 times. But now, where did I see you and we saw you at? Goliath. No.
The box.
Oh,
has the show started?
Yeah, we're in. There's no time.
This guy.
Oh, has the show started?
Yeah.
What time do you want it to start?
What's happening? You were 3 minutes late.
Wow.
How do you know Ryan?
Wow.
Yes, he does, Ryan.
Do you know Eric?
Guys. No stings, no pew, 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 pew.
Do you want to sting?
No, I don't want to sting.
Okay, cool. How was the box, by the way, Robbie?
Explain
that vibe. Like,
it was
what's
all
going
of
on
it.
There?
If you wanted to see
from the beginning,
the whole spectrum of comedy, that was the box.
The first half did not exist.
Who hosted the
show? Oh, wow. You want me to call our names?
No, but I'm saying that it was important that...
we have like 7
Moma Tebe was hosting.
Yes.
And did he? Because I wasn't there for the opening.
I also
who hosted Mo?
Mo hosted.
Mo hosted.
No,
Bongani came on.
Yes, I watched the whole
crowd. Was weird, but he worked his way through.
Yeah. First of all, it was 20-25 people at the most.
No, not even.
Not even.
I'd say it was maybe 30, including 18 comedians.
Oh yeah, if you include the comedians, yeah.
And it was a room full of young ladies.
Yeah, there were hardly guys.
There were two dudes in the audience.
I think about 4 or 5 people in the front row, not from South Africa.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was Father's Day, so nobody really cared.
No one cares about Father's Day.
And then,
nobody cares.
You know, man, you're not about the colored comedians now, not having problems
it's
with
that. It's too early for racism.
No, 906, I think.
906 is what they...
It's the international...
Get it out of the way. It's International Hamburger Day.
And
is
then
it?
A young lady got on,
mm-hmm.
and she died on her ass.
From South Africa?
From South Africa.
Yes.
Okay.
From Sandton, actually.
And then another young lady got on.
Gotta mention the name, she might.
Another young lady got on, and she died hard on her ass.
Yeah, she's used to it.
Oh, my God. What are you doing, bro?
That's not a hole.
You're trying to put a jack in a volume button.
No, we're just trying to get you some ears, man. That's all.
So, and then who closed? A young gentleman from the UK.
Yes.
Also
Latif.
Struggled in his
But
ass.
Also, he was going okay, and then he lost him, and then carried on. He should have said, hey, man, I gave it my best shot. I'm out of here.
He said
20 minutes.
No, he just said things that are...
Kind of trashy.
South African young comedy audiences are what's it? Inverted commas woke. So they're all just sensitive.
That's right. No, maybe sensitive to a point of knowledge. They just know that what you're saying now is bullshit.
Yes. So, and also, South Africans are already conservative. Just as a country, we're pretty conservative, and so when he was doing chick jokes and stuff like that, the ladies were like, hashtag. So the first half ended quite awkwardly. It was
so these are
I did not expect that audience to come back in the second half. I must say.
I also sat there going, oh man, not another one of these, man. I didn't feel like having another night like that.
Yeah, exactly. Parker's. I didn't want to get on. I honestly was like, I don't want
to. I thought sitting on the chair, were you the second comic to sit? Because the moment
you came
back. Yeah,
we all said, guys, this is a sit on the chair.
This is a sit on the chair
something.
Gig.
Yeah.
You know what the chair does? It brings you in. And go, guys, let's, because the comedy was hard and aggressive and fighty.
Yes.
And then the chair took away the whole, like, come on, man, we're funny guys. Let's discuss.
You know, you know what happens with the stool thing, especially in a small audience.
We'll be sat on the stool.
Yes, but it what happens? I've been I've started sitting on the stool for like the past 2 months now, because I'm trying to work new material, and I realize if I'm not sure of it, there's something cool with sitting on the stool and having a conversation. Mm. When, because what was happening in the first half was people were standing and they were freaking, I think there were 15 people.
And it becomes a phallic thing, you standing and shouting down.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're a giant penis on stage, but that's feels, what ends up looking like.
I think that's
like
how women feel when you thrust their penis shouting penises at me. Yeah.
And then comics are getting upset because they're not laughing, and it's a horrible relationship. When you sit on the stool, then we're all like on the same level.
But you used a very cool comedy, what do we call it, like a trick. That was very, not only sitting on the stool, but you took them on a journey of like how bad your father was, and how you gave him to them and saying, the guy's a chop, bad. And then they didn't laugh. You're like, what do you guys want from me?
Oh,
like,
yes.
I'm saying he's a bad man and you're still not on my side.
But then that's a
perfect... It was a good trick.
I think that's also a perfect example of just showing how the comedy audience now want to be offended for other people. Because there was a room full of women and I said, my dad is trash.
Yes. And they were like...
And then they went, no. Huh? Then I'm like... You're upset because I'm talking about my father.
Because it was the one day of the year that they're allowed to be upset for men.
Yeah.
That's what you fucked up.
Yeah,
no, but it was, like, but it was like, a comedy. It was a good
he's not trash
trick.
Today. He's your father.
Yes.
Tomorrow, fuck that guy.
Yes.
But today.
But then they went, because I even said, like, I haven't spoken to my dad for a while. Not because we don't talk, just he doesn't have a phone. But I don't know.
That was fun.
But had you written that? You had written those jokes?
No, I made up that whole set.
That's cool.
I wasn't meant to before.
Like, well, you didn't realize that there were so many underlying comedy, what do they call it? Our little arrows, like our tricks that you were using. Using the irony, using, and then we could see the audience were going, fuck, we're in good hands now. That was
a
big
but
thing.
You see,
well, I think it was also a matter of acknowledging what was happening.
That's the thing.
For us to go, like, comedy.
Just carry on like nothing. Guys, something's wrong here.
It's awareness. Yeah, you got to be aware of what's happening. And I think also that's what happened to the closer in the first half. At no point was I going, he's aware of what's happening.
You look around the room and say, did you just make that joke? You didn't see that person.
Yes.
Totally
but
in their chair.
Not just make that joke. Like, he made that joke multiple times where he's like, okay, dude, you can see that the ladies aren't here for AG jokes. Two ladies. Maybe try acknowledge that or try show that you.
But do you think that's a comedy?
That
do you think all comics have that
natural spectrum?
Is it a natural thing to have that awareness?
Well, I think that's the first. I think that's the first thing you need to have is awareness. I think that's why a lot of comics, when you start off your career, you make jokes about yourself because that's the first thing you should be aware of is
self-deprecating vibes.
Self-deprecation is the first place we go to when we start our comedy.
Not naturally.
Well,
a lot of guys don't do it. It takes away the sting.
I think the people who already have the awareness start there because you go, this is what I know for sure is me. And I know what you guys might perceive me
and
to
that's
be
what
from
Robbie
the get-go.
Did. He went in, I haven't spoken to my dad for a long time.
Yeah.
Subvertive. All those little tricks, you were just doing them naturally. And you got them sitting forward in their chairs going, okay, now the show's on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he went on before me and he switched because his set, I think he dedicated.
Louis so much and I have a name.
Louis was set.
This is Robbie Collins speaking, by the way. Yeah. It's a radio thing, hey? You're supposed to say. And this is Robbie.
I don't think you even introduced
me
us.
Me and Robbie sound the same.
That's Robbie Collins.
No, we were going to be changing the name. Right, yeah, you guys sound the same.
You sound exactly the same.
Louis dedicated, I think, 3/4 of his set to talking about how messed up the first half was. But in a comedic way,
and you did it in a nice way. You weren't. You didn't say names. You didn't
say.
No.
Like,
but also, it was about how I felt.
Yes,
I said
that was weird.
Guys, watching this was tough for me. I didn't want to get on. It was so hard. It was like being sent out to war, but you watch everybody come back injured.
You still did that limp. Don't go.
Yeah.
But you know what was cool? Because we said it at the interval. We said, "Yo, we're gonna change this thing," because the audience, what they saw in the first half and what they saw in the second half.
Two different shows.
Two totally
but then
different.
I would say there's two reasons for that. Professional comics going, the show matters.
Yes.
So someone's paid, how much is it? $50 to get in there.
Yeah, but that $50 is a lot for some people.
But for sure, what you did was professional. You went, hang on, something's wrong here. There's so many comics who were just stuck with their set that they wrote yesterday and done it out there and just gone with it. You're growing as comics, man. You did a show.
But also, that's the thing. It's
pulled it out of the fire.
People forget that it's a show.
Yeah.
A lot of comics will go out there with their own ego and it's like, okay, my turn on stage. And it's like, no, it's a lineup. Therefore, we're all here as a show. People need to go, I watched comedy.
I want
tonight.
You to be
and
good then they can so we can
down.
All be good.
Yes. Yeah. Then they'll break down like, and I like this guy, and I like this guy. But when people come out, they go for a comedy show. So a lot of comics forget that and they can mess up a room for everybody okay. else. And it's like, dude, we all came here to put out a show. There's a reason why you get given a certain amount of time. Yeah. Don't go over it because that amount of time does something to my set. And if
well,
you
these
go
are things
under,
that we were talking about why I wanted you on the show. Mm. Is there a list of things that we talked about maybe 5 years ago that we didn't think about?
No, but... Oh, sorry.
Don't go over your time.
I also think the show is bigger than any act. And the biggest problem is that people don't realize that these certain positions you put on a lineup, they're played to the show. If you starting the show off, also you go, what kind of crowd is it? This is a big crowd. So you got to... You got to come with, you know what I mean? Some like the fortunate thing for Sunday was it could be more playful because of the environment that we're in. And it was so hostile in the first half. So he could be more, Loy could be more playful. Yeah. I could be more playful because now we're just like, yo, let's just see whatever. Let's just see what happens. Let's hope it's better than the first half.
You want young comics to see the reason why the opener is so strong. And then I want the guy to succeed. I actually never want a guy to die because of the fact that you have to go on after or before. Yeah. You want the whole night to be this ensemble. The reason why you're on just before the break is you hit those people in the break and they're buying a beer at the break going, damn, that was cool. I want to come back.
I want to come
back.
So
that's your strong act.
Yeah.
Then obviously the closer would be someone who wraps up the whole evening and goes, this was fantastic. Have you heard this? Boom, boom.
Yeah.
But that opener, that middle, that act before the break and that closer. And then obviously the host can sense something's going on. So Mo's starting out as hosting. A nice place to start is at the box. Because you learn so much more than you do at Parker's or
something. I also think two of the people who were in the first half wanted to do new stuff or whatever that was. And as much as you want to do new stuff, I love doing new stuff on stage. Sometimes the environment isn't ready for your new stuff. You're not even ready to say that new stuff. So with it's difficult as a new comic.
Give your new material a chance.
Yes.
Like so maybe also acknowledge that. Guys, that was a new joke I wrote it yesterday. Give them that sort of softening
literally,
blow.
Literally. And it can be that. I mean, like, if you go on to stage and realize that it's human beings that you're talking to.
No idea why this is playing.
Because I've been playing underneath the whole time.
Yeah, that's our theme.
That's how I feel when I'm doing corporates sometimes.
We're going to talk about that as
I'm
well.
I'm just a clown. Just
perform.
Yeah, just perform.
But I don't want to start making rules about... Because every place is different.
Rules.
What is the rule? The rules are at Parker's are on the wall.
There's no rules because every night is different. It's like,
you've just got a picture of a microphone telling you how to hold it. Have you seen that?
It's like people who come up with rules on dating. But like stringent rules, like you got to do this and then say this. It's like, no, it's a human being.
You've got 8
complex.
Seconds to impress me.
Yeah. So you can imagine a crowd now is a complex, it's a mix of complex people forming one complex organism, even more complex organism.
That's deep.
And what we do as comics is try to bring everybody to the same level in some kind of way, you know, try to go, where are we all together tonight, right? And let's keep us there. And
find that common thing that I think was funny and you can relate to.
Yes. And sometimes there'll be that comic who breaks it and goes, everyone here is this and I'm going to come with something totally different. But that person...
That's level pro.
That's pro.
Yeah.
That's somebody who knows...
So therefore you can't write the rules. There are no rules.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Yeah. Because, for instance, if somebody else had opened up that night and I came on going, acknowledging like, oh, I was scared to come out and Yeah, someone else might come on and go, fuck you guys.
All of you.
Fuck all of you. For not
turns around. But
they know how to make that work.
Look at Tats. When you looked at them, he said, guys, I've done comedy for a while. I thought I was actually quite good. In fact, I've been on television.
Yes.
I'm
better than all of you.
And that just made them relax because they saw the irony. Yeah. Plus they saw, actually, no, he's right. He's got the ego to stand on that platform.
Yeah.
Whereas a new, if Bongani had done it, you're like, no, but you haven't been on TV yet. We need to find out who you are. So he's doing that arrogant, but it's tongue in cheek.
Yes.
Whereas someone doing it really arrogantly, you're like, no, actually, no.
It's, man. It's, but somebody described being a comic as that, everyone knows someone funny in their group, right? The guy who arrives at the bar and
they just know something funny is going to happen.
As soon as he gets into the group, he's making everyone laugh. Like, he just does that, right? What comics are people who are able to do that to absolute strangers, to create that environment for absolute strangers.
That I feel, that I feel comfortable, that I feel like you're that guy at the bar straight away. This is the
yes,
guy.
Yes, this is the guy at the bar. He's here to make us laugh. And we're all comfortable strangers, with this guy. That's the only difference between us and the guy who's funny at the bar. The guy who's funny at the bar is only funny because we know him. We understand where he's coming from. He's our
point,
friend.
As Joey says, he's point of reference.
He's point of reference. Yeah. So...
I did a charity gig with Joey on Wednesday for like a hectic alcohol rape abuse charity. And he didn't hold back.
Both those things?
All four, the big four.
The big four. Yeah.
rape, alcohol, abuse,
and drugs.
Drugs. Here we go.
And
I'm not saying like we're on a game drive through society spotting the big four.
Look at that abuse. Look at that family of abuse.
Depends where we're driving, right?
You can see a blue eye. The really spotty.
So I don't want to make rules
makeup.
Of comedy.
No makeup.
There's no rules to this thing.
What's the rule at Kitcheners, genuinely? New material.
So it's new material, but I always say to the new guys is that, yo, you have no business doing new jokes every week if you don't even have a five. The whole platform for Kitcheners with the new guys, some use it right and some just
Les
don't understand
out
it
that
at
he
all.
Went there to try new stuff. He saw it wasn't working and he went to his old stuff, which is you applaud him. You're going, well, you tried your new stuff, it wasn't ready.
Yeah,
Tats said his stuff wasn't ready. And don't abuse the privilege of Kitcheners. Don't look at that crowd and go, I'm gonna try some new stuff here now.
Yeah,
and
then you guys only paid $30.
Do the whatever. Do the opener of So I'm in Good Hands.
Yeah.
And it's something I said to Claudine. Just put us in good hands first.
Yes.
Then go crazy.
Yes.
Don't come out crazy immediately.
And it's something, maybe, sometimes I feel bad because maybe us older comics didn't say this because I got told by Ndumiso. This is one thing he taught me, and it held me in good stead for like years after this, okay. Right? Was have your set, right? The material that works. And then from there, start adding into that. So open with an opener that makes them trust you. And in the middle, adding.
Now, where do you think Ndumiso got that from?
If probably he's from the
old
guys
school. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I watch guys start with an absolutely new joke, and I'm like, you're not giving that joke a chance. Because
he thinks he's already at the bride that everyone knows him.
Yeah. People have to trust you first. And also
phone through your jokes first. I phone the audience first and listen.
So how do you feel about me?
Can you put me on speaker and then I do it for the whole audience? And if they don't get it, I just don't even go to the club. I just
it's
keep
not
driving.
It's not just about the audience. It's about you, because that first laugh gives you the confidence to go,
that's right.
Oh yeah, I'm a comic, and you can try out.
Have you ever done a gig where the guys play a joke on you? I did a golf day where the guys, the organizing it, said to them, "Don't laugh at his first three jokes."
Well, that's
you know what I said to him? I said, "You know what you did there? You took everything to another level of pain."
Yes.
Not for me, for you, because then I started going hardcore. Then I just started ripping oaks off from the front, because that's what you do. If you're not going to be a group, I'll separate the big boys.
Yes.
And then I take the biggest guy there, same as jail, hit the biggest oak there and fucking do it. So I started taking the guys apart. And the one guy, you could see, he was going, we were told not to laugh for the first 3 minutes. And when I started hitting him, he took it personally. And then he split from the group. And then this guy split from the group eventually. And James came to me after and said, fuck, sorry, man. I didn't realize what I was doing. I said, you took a pilot and said, fly the plane upside down.
Fuck you, James.
Fuck you, James.
And you're not Denzel.
Dave is the opposite of Denzel.
My man, question, James, not me. My question, Robbie.
Did you get paid?
What's an incredible risk we take in comedy is the assumption of shared experiences and general knowledge. Like what you just said now.
Those are two very
Denzel
big things.
Jokes, that Denzel joke only works if I've watched that movie.
Yeah. But he didn't fly the train upside down.
No, he flew a plane. The movie is called Flight.
Flight.
But he also, in fact, he took a train as well. So he does a full transport spectrum of movies.
He slowed down a train.
But he flew the plane upside down.
Like yes.
But that was a real story, apparently, and he had a few dorps before, and it was a whole true story.
It's not a real story.
Isn't it? It's based on a captain that was interviewed afterwards when he said...
You're thinking of the one with, not Kevin Costner, who's that?
Tom Hanks. Where he lands in the Hudson. Called
Sally. Do you know
Sally?
That I took off from JFK when that plane was landing, like we were taking off, and that plane landed on the Hudson. So they were going to turn our plane around because they thought it was a terrorist vibe.
Oh,
we were taking off at JFK and that plane was coming there, landing on there. So
what were you doing in New York?
None of your business. You know, I have a share portfolio.
Another baby.
Another baby.
You know what
shit. Visiting another baby.
You know
baby.
What it was? It was 2009. It was when Obama was elected as president the first time around.
Oh, you wanted?
I just went.
You were sent by the white South Africans to see if it's true.
I said, you know, I said the thing.
Is there really a black president in America?
Does a black man now run the free world?
I just had to go do. I just had to set some things like see what stuff he wanted at the house. I did a bit of buying linen, things like that, and also just I met with the Comedy Central people. I said, you know, you should get Trevor Noah, and they looked at me and said, why don't you? I said, no, I don't want the job. And I just laid the platform for him. And it helped, you know. Everyone, it was during the recession.
Everyone plays their part.
Everyone won.
People, you know, I don't want recognition. You know what we're going to... Ryan, tell them what the show is going to be called.
Friends of Trevor Noah.
Friends of Trevor Noah. That's basically every interview in South Africa.
Yeah, right?
Were you on the radio recently, on Fresh?
Here's the thing.
You on Fresh? Fresh. Wednesday, Tuesday, on Metro?
No.
Did you?
Who was on? 5FM last week.
Were you on 5FM? No. Oh yes, you're on the morning. That's a bit of a weird show. It's kind of not. There's nothing really to do. You make a breakfast and then they ask you some questions.
Yeah, it was actually fun.
Were you pressured to be funny?
No, what's it, JT? He's like, it just chills.
It's chill, eh?
He's
from Boxburg. He's from Boxburg.
Represents.
He doesn't force the thing, you know. And I feel relaxed enough to just be myself, rather than like the worst thing you can think on stage or in a situation is say something funny.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear it in my own head.
Oh,
I'm
it
like,
was Mojack was on Fresh show and
he was
they
fresh,
were talking
yeah,
off air and she said, is there when you're on radio, like tell us a joke? And he said, you know, it's difficult because the jokes must be relevant.
Yes.
If you're talking about Oscar, then I can say an Oscar joke.
Yes. Other than
to just walk into that room, open the door and go, Russian people, hey, they're weird.
It's like,
it's no relevant.
What?
Why are you trying to be funny? Are you going to Grahamstown?
Yeah, I'm taking
you, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm taking a new show there.
How do you feel about Grahamstown? Like I would say that you're a new Grahamstown person. You've been twice.
Four times.
Is it? And with the Goliaths, or who did you go by?
First time I went was with my sister. We just went. Okay. I was living in Durban. And then I didn't even start a comedy. And it was just, Grahamstown was, look man, Grahamstown started to lose numbers. When I went for the first time with my sister in 2005, I feel like the streets were a lot more full than what they are now.
Mm.
Also, since 2005, South Africa has so many more new festivals.
Options, yeah.
There's so many options with the internet and there's so many things that people can do now. It's no more. Grahamstown used to be the only thing
yes,
the Eastern
and
Cape
had.
And
it had that encompassed arts.
Yes.
So now there's comedy at Prickle, at Pop, Mini Pop. There's comedy at Opikopi.
They've seen comedy and theater a lot more. They're not waiting for that one time in the year. But I went with my first show was that Bushman's Crazy, I think 2004.
And you mentioned before when we spoke about here that you had referenced Richard Pryor's thing.
Richard Pryor's
thing. And then you kind of thought maybe they didn't get it. Together.
What's
that? Yeah. They didn't get
Chris Pryor.
he's a great guy.
Oh man, you heard that new Richard Rock?
That's what I do.
Chris Pryor, wow.
I'm doing the Chris Cosby show.
Yeah, he was followed by Kevin Chappelle.
Great lineup.
Is that a full stop in Melville?
Look,
are we doing new stuff?
You know how fun Grahamstown is? It's slowing down, is it?
Yeah, have you ever spoken to the big boss dude, Lancaster, Tony Lancaster?
I don't want to meet that.
Let me see his theory on that. He says it has been in the last, say, 20 years. Goes down, but he said never give up on it. Something will happen either with the schools, kids go, we're going to support it. It never stops.
He must keep evolving.
I don't think I think it's way too important.
Yeah,
I remember my first one there. I was shocked at how many people come down to this middle of nowhere town,
freezing cold.
In the freezing cold.
When was your first one?
Literally with the Goliaths, and they took their
first
show.
Okay, they took the ensemble.
2014,
and they took the Bowls Club for the. They made it into the Goliaths.
2014.
No,
and
no,
they,
no, no. The
and,
one with,
and
that, the, with that. Hideous ass cold ass tent where we were on stage in full jackets and stuff.
The cold ass tent, was that the name of the tent?
Oh yes,
yeah,
I did my one man in that tent. It was so cold, Dave.
You could see the steam coming from people's mouths. The
and
whole
people
set.
Sitting there also get their
cold,
asses get numb.
Dude, people were laughing like dude, it was so hectic.
It was.
How were they laughing?
It wasn't
I
fun,
can't
bro.
Do it with radio. Yeah. Fuck.
It doesn't
that
work
joke
as well.
Bomb.
No, Ryan is here to explain. He's like the 30 seconds guy. What did Robbie do?
He did like a teeth chattering, I'm very cold movement. You literally had to be. Literally.
Don't need a white man to explain my actions.
Did you white explain?
Thank you, Ryan.
Ryan's not white. He's kind of pinkish.
No, he's white. They're thinking it. That's
they're thinking it.
I played golf.
You know what's dope about Grahamstown quickly? Is that so many people who wouldn't be able to afford a theater or rent theaters. That look, Grahamstown, you don't make crazy money, but it's also a great platform for people to just get out there and do a show.
Work.
But the other problem is Grahamstown doesn't have a standard to the shows. So Grahamstown just accepts anything. Which is
and then
cool.
They kind of make the audience will decide on whether that thing's working or not.
But the problem is if I take my family to Grahamstown and I don't know comedy and I see some dude
the who's big poster.
Some guy who's put posters everywhere, then I go, let me go check it out. Then this guy's whack and he's not even doing stand up anywhere in the cities. So then I write off stand up for the rest of the festival. Mm. I'm like, I went to see a show. But this
that's kind of out of your control. Hey? That's gonna happen.
But you know what? There's always a crazy show at these festivals. The show I want to see this year is called My Vagina is Angry. Yeah. I don't know what it's about.
Somebody, Claudine?
No, it looks amazing. It just looks like the dopest show in the world. It's called My Vagina is Angry. Read the description.
There's a picture of a young woman topless with her hands down her pants. Two guys behind her, one grabbing her tatties and the other with his hands over her mouth. Okay, and the description is, what if the very thing that gave life took control of it and pushed you to the edge? My Vagina is Angry is an abstract revelation of the internal conflict that went on in Ntombizodwa Gumede's life as her vagina possessed her and obliged her to take her two lovers captive.
Her vagina is angry.
You know, so the Robbie,
vagina
everyone's
literally has
see
hostages.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
That's fine.
What's your show called?
I am definitely going to see
what's
that.
What's your show called?
Like
you got competition now.
Yeah, guys, I'm changing it.
But like in the defense of shows like that, I saw another show that was the worst. It was like this French show. They
people do talk about that make you go and see that. You gotta go see this show.
I went there and it was these French people and it was this puppet show. You know when you're like, you can see your hands. I can see you walk across
the puppet's
the stage
falling off.
The
he just carries on. The show must go on.
It was awful. And it got a standing ovation at the end. I almost shouted at the people. I was almost like, you're all better than this. I was so pissed
but
off.
Those, man. We, Martin Evans and I, tried to look for the worst shows. And we put ourselves through hell going and sitting for an hour. And we said, you're not allowed to leave. And which are the worst ones? And then we started telling people, this is what you got to go see. Just to based on theater craft and learning about why we do this. Because there was a guy who's passionate about a thing and he's a one-man play for an hour and a half doing his, and he's got the bucket there, which the bucket's the mountain and the bucket's a tree and the bucket's his phone. The bucket's everything.
Yeah.
And then you've got to watch this and you realize what we do is completely different. But I learned more watching those ones than
you
I did watching the slick
But like there's
production.
So many side shows, like Robbie said, like there's so many side shows that are better than the main shows though. I watched another show.
But any festival's like that. That's what's great about them. Right?
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
You just try it.
But Grahamstown's not like Edinburgh and it's not, it's very weird to go to Edinburgh and standing and go, fuck this. Are you going to hand out flyers?
Oh yeah, Edinburgh's tough.
I'm not handing out flyers.
Aren't you, Robbie? I'm not even printing posters.
They want to come, they can come.
Okay. Because that's how you see Grahamstown. You see Grahamstown as an experiment.
I'm not fucking wasting money. This is my thing. There's so many posters. So my thing is, either people know me as a comedian.
Do you remember David Newton's poster? He just put it over that whole tent.
Yeah, dude. David Newton just covered a whole building. Oh. They look like they're exterminating, bro.
Which they should have.
But I'm just...
Yeah, there's no rules. There's no rules.
Yeah, man. For me, I'm just like, I'm going to perform as much and then...
When is it, by the way? From what?
From
29th.
Yeah, 28th.
Yeah, 28th.
Tuesday. And how are you guys traveling together?
I'm actually rolling with Eric Janssen here. Yeah. He's going to be my warm-up act.
I'm also driving down.
I see he's got a Vans cap on. But are you driving down?
I'm not driving. The last year when I was in Grahamstown, I had an accident.
Robbie, you'll never drive there again.
I drove Paul Pops' car into a parked car.
That was a very long...
That story is a very the long best night. Story ever. Well, I heard it recently.
I was going to drive away
but
with the lady.
But isn't Shirley Impa Pops is insured?
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Well, what's the story? You can't say it's the best story.
That's why. We're going to get it.
It's a very long story. Okay. It's a very long story. Just know I shouldn't be driving.
But you don't drive in general, though.
No.
Because I've often hooted at you in Louisburton and you've thought maybe I was a taxi. But I was just saying I was just saying hello. I didn't want you to get in.
You know, the more I travel the world, the more I see cars as unnecessary.
Yeah, but that's in you go to places that have good transport systems.
Yes, but because I'm trying to travel and
that's how Denzel Washington starts all his movies. I'm just gonna catch this train.
Boom, taking off film one.
Hey, kid. Boom, fly. Can I try out your skateboard? Yeah, sure.
If I'm on public transport and I see Denzel walk on, I'm out. I'm jumping off at that stop.
Shot left, shot left. This is a train.
Pop quiz,
sir.
Asshole.
I don't care, shot left.
And you driving down with a group of people, or are you going by yourself? Because that's part of the jewel, is the little road trip.
I'm going by myself, but I don't mind driving alone. I like driving.
Okay.
I just put it in a podcast, an audiobook.
A podcast?
A podcast.
Have you ever heard Friends of Trevor Noah? It's called the Just Now Comedy Podcast.
Oh, I was saying.
Yes.
Comics like to put Trevor's name in their stand-up.
The end or the beginning.
No, in their stand-up, right? And I always watch the audience realize where they'd rather be.
All you've said to them is basically, time. How about you guys go and see a Trevor Noah show?
I'm not even joking. Every time someone throws Trevor's name into
a hilarious
gag, I literally watch the crowd remember where they'd rather be.
I'm like,
you idiot. Why would you... You're the star of your own 10 minutes. Why would you bring on the one person
who's going to fuck that up for you?
Who they would rather see. Stop doing that, guys.
That Argentinian coach talking about.
No, but the problem is, especially for me, like I used to do a joke that involved Trevor. But then the problem is, I get what Loy's saying, is when you have no personal connection to him.
Yeah.
You literally.
You also take the person in terms of that. The money that he's making there, and then we come back to Nando's, and you're like, no, bitch.
He does the pro thing, which is handle the situation and know the expectation that the crowd has. Some guys just get on there and goes, like, say something like, yeah, I'm not driven, no, but I'm trying, you know? It's like, oh, you just killed yourself.
I get what Lloyd's saying, because it's literally a distraction. It's a distraction to what's coming out of your mouth. Now you're thinking, damn, when is
Let's check CompuTicket.
I haven't been on CompuTicket for a while.
Let me get on YouTube.
Yeah, and watch Trevor.
Let's talk about, were you at Comedy Conference?
Yes, I was.
What did you take away from that? We've got in the next half hour. I don't want to make rules about how comedy works. Trust nobody.
Trust.
Your theme came through on so many things. Work harder, no one cares. Every time someone said something, I wanted to say, amen, work harder, no one cares.
There
were so many of those themes that came through that.
It's like, no one gives a fuck about the thing, about the actual stand-up thing. You're on your own.
The umbrella we give a fuck about, because you're fucking up for everyone.
Once we're on a show together, how we treat each other, how we treat the thing that gives a reputation to the thing. So if a new gig starts and that gig has been run badly, it gives comedy a bad name that we care about.
But before Comedy Conference, did we not realize that was what was happening?
I don't know, bro.
I think we need to explain Comedy Conference.
All right, well, we have spoken about it before. Comedians got together. We had Kate explained it. She said it was needed just to establish a point of reference for everything for comedy from here onwards.
Yes. I thought it was amazing.
Point of reference.
I really enjoy the financial talk. Like the comedy side... I'm at that point now.
Because it can change.
Yeah, the comedy side, when people are talking about comedy and how to do the thing, I'd switch off, because I'm also like, a lot of these people say...
Did you like the social media side and the financial side?
A lot of people clubs, they aren't doing...
Yes, a lot of people talking about how to be comics. I'm like, you're not even a comic right now. Yeah. But I enjoy the financial side of it. I just wanted to ask one question, but I didn't want to disrupt the thing. I just wanted to ask those...
I was just scared to ask those questions.
I wanted to ask the accountants and the tax dude from SARS. I just wanted to ask them, what's the limit on an e-wallet?
But did you also find it was difficult to pull away from being funny?
Yes.
Because you saw there were so many things where you had chirped, like that you would have been the king of the conference, but you would have been the cunt of the conference as well.
That's why I was like... It's what they're saying. They're giving
like an award.
They're giving such great information. I didn't want to.
It was excellent information. I wanted a breakaway room for just to say, we're going to now, for those guys who want to do this, because I felt a lot of very young comics were asking questions that you think are obvious.
Yes.
And that guy was being serious.
I was shocked at the stuff people didn't know.
At the
know,
basis
right?
of stuff, going, is this this? Like, and you're like, damn.
Wow, you don't know.
But wouldn't it have been great to have an hour breakaway room, say, Robbie and Luis are going to go and take these 10 guys and just break that down and say, guys, here's where you're at now, and this is where you're going to be in a year or
but
in 3 months.
You know what? Dave.
Who cares?
No. These are guys don't. Like, there's this weird thing with younger comics where just because you're doing the thing, you think, I'm just in it.
You're immersed in it.
You know, I'm just in it. I don't
pop up every now and then and see where you're at.
When we started, I would hang around to absorb. What's the conversation? What questions
so
can
weird.
I ask?
I was no at the Comedy Warehouse for 3 months before I did my first set. I just sat and watched. Comics are doing that?
That's exactly and what I'm...
Like, I feel like a lot of these things that I learned just by being there and listening. And asking when I feel like, okay, now I need to ask because no one's explaining this thing, but I hear it's important.
I saw Chris Papani at Parker's once. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I've just come to watch.
Yeah,
and I'm
bro.
Like, fucking A. That's smart.
So just come watch and listen and learn from the other comics. Like, O's just like, when I just crack jokes afterwards, it's like, oh, no one's going to ask questions. No one's going to...
I think a breakaway room would have been necessary. What you're saying now is almost like redundant because rather come and watch and learn way more than any breakaway room would have worked.
I remember.
Because we're having these conversations after the thing. We're talking about how to get to New York and when you get there, do this.
That courtyard at the box afterwards. That is information station, bro.
No, but that's... I remember having a fight with one of my first girlfriends because she was like, why do you hang out so late after the show? And I was like, yo, you can't study this thing.
That's your conference.
After the show is when all the information's been dropped.
Yeah.
So I should literally just stand around whichever comic, like I was like, okay, this one's spitting some knowledge. Let me be close to him. And just listen. I should listen to Loy and Trevor talk. I wouldn't even... have input for their conversation.
Start doing that at Grahamstown. At Edinburgh, there's separate rooms. So you'll go into a building, there'll be a separate room. So there'll be a top floor where it's just comedians. And it's not about pussy or anything.
Yes, it's not.
And there you are sitting next to...
it's not about that pussy.
You know what's happening? The comedians feel a freedom. So I'm sitting next to Eddie Izzard, and he's not feeling that fandom.
Yes.
He's saying, how are you, Eddie? I'm like, okay, that's... I'm Dave. Oh, South Africa. Oh, I did this marathon. So now I'm talking to Eddie Izzard. I'm going, fuck, I'm talking to my hero. But there's no fandom.
Yes.
He's giving information. Yes. And he can chill and drink. And he can also not be funny, or he can be funny, or he can just be himself.
Yes.
Which is often not the case when you're at the bar, when someone comes to you, hey, God.
Joke.
But that was our conversation with Chappelle when we were at the cellar. Oh, when we were at the cellar, Dave Chappelle rocked up and just started talking to us, and then he just spoke to us as normal comedians.
Yeah,
he wasn't speaking to us like yo.
But
I'm
he also
Dave
felt
Chappelle.
The freedom to do that.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
exactly.
The room separated.
Yeah,
that courtyard. Your girlfriends will have arguments with a lot of comics to come. Because they are going to say, why did you stay afterwards?
And
who were you talking to?
And boyfriends, don't be sexist.
All right. If your boyfriend's angry with you for staying in the courtyard, make it come back. So that's interesting that Vittorio listens to our podcast, Vittorio Leonardi.
And hey, Vic.
Say hello to Vic.
What up, Vic?
He's not only what I find Vic is a hard...
Vic understands.
If you understand how the knowledge base. So here we go. So what he
did was he sent a whole lot of messages to the WhatsApp of Cliff Central, but don't read them because.
Well, I don't know how to work the fucking machine
because you have zero fans.
Yeah.
We have two fans. Like without a doubt, we have two solid fans.
This is on three, make it come back
Michelle
again.
And Vic.
So here's the thing: like there's rules at Parker's on the wall there. Have you seen them? Have you seen them?
Yes, I've seen them.
The picture of the mic. Rules. No, yeah. The picture of the mic, and then also the timing
the
of the host.
Don't hold the mic like this. Hold the mic like this.
The guys come on their full rapper mode. Everybody could do comedy now.
Like, rapping Arnie.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to do comedy and now.
Come with me if you want to live.
Come with me. Laugh if you want. If you don't want to die.
Quickly, we got to get to the punchline.
What did Vic have to say?
Read the stuff, man.
Okay, there comes a point in the, where the audience came to have a power trip. They have no talent, but they have control over you. It's quite a weird situation. Like they come in there to go, we can't do this, you must do it. So as you're saying, the rules on the wall at Parker are there because too many of the acts show up thinking they're rappers. Dropping the mic is sometimes we had to tell them not to do. Like actual comedians dropping the mic afterwards because they've seen it on some sort of on movie or maybe Obama did it. But, I mean, young comics
he
actually
did,
drop.
He did. It was awesome.
But to drop a SM Sheriff
SM
58, it's a 20,000 rand thing. And they're going, good night. You see Jacques' face.
I've dropped a mic before.
I've thrown a mic.
At Wish, I broke the mic.
This is why your career is going nowhere.
People
the
remember.
Mic broke. And the show ended after my set because there's no more mic.
And oh, what were you like the second?
It was so dope. Who was this? Grant Willie Wilson. And you know when Chris Rock drops a mic and goes, ooh, this mic, you just heard it go broke, bro. Show ended. I think I was the third comic. Gig ended, bro.
Grahamstown is a ghost town.
It's like 2010.
Grahamstown is a ghost town. It'll come back, guys.
Who's saying these things, Vic?
What I'm digging, is also
they should have never given Vic data.
that data doesn't choose you.
Grahamstown is also dope because it's becoming a serious comedy destination for us.
It never used to be. More it's shows. Only the last 10 years.
We're taking more and more shows down there, and I think comedy will bring Grahamstown.
So that's what you're saying. Yeah, audiences. The Fringe becomes the festival.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say the Fringe means outside anymore. The actual festival people go for, you go, you know, there's a main festival. They go, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They'll just be like, oh no, but
you can actually go and see Swan thing. Lake, by the Russian Fox, ballet or from Fox Russia.
And lakes.
Where are we seeing these people?
No, I had three black comedians actually drowned in Swan Lake.
Wow. Oh, Jesus, babe.
43 minutes into the show.
43.
You're doing well. You're doing so
Dave, you know you can only be racist after 11.
After year 11. This is finally, Vic says, young comics are there for themselves. Then they wonder why they don't get hired, don't get work, and they don't know how to run a room. So what you said is we're all in the ensemble. You're actually there for each other. There's a little podium, and you're there. One guy is as good as the worst guy is as good as the best guy.
Yeah.
You see, I can speak from a young comics perspective. What happened was when you start doing the thing, you always told, if you don't get stage time, make a stage for yourself. So that's why some guys get there.
Yeah. Okay, but then made a little bit wrong message there.
Yes, but instead of taking it and going, okay, cool, I'm going to make my own room, put myself on the lineup, but I'm going to get guys that have been doing the thing to make it a show. Yeah, to make it a show. They just book a whole bunch of new
guys.
And
then to walk off stage and then wonder why the thing didn't work and say, you fucked it up for us. You went into the room and took everything that was lacquer, sucked it out, and then invited the next comic to come and fix it. That's why it didn't work.
I feel for young comics because you're also going, for lots of young comics, it's very difficult to get stage time. And like Eric is saying, you still need to keep the ones who know what's going on.
Still making a show.
The thing is, when you, guys,
there's too much stuff out there to learn. This is all stuff you learn by being in the space. Yeah. And when you start your own room, what are you expecting? You're not that good. None of us were that good. It took me a lot. I don't know. The first time I hosted was at Kitchener's. And that was like after a long time of watching, hosting, what it's about, whatever. Mm. I watched people host immediately. I'm like, yo, that's a lot of responsibility to have as a young comic.
Like,
you have to go start your own room. Put yourself in the middle.
Yeah.
Give yourself five in your own room.
Yeah, don't do a support spot.
Because if you're trying to make a room, it's about pulling an audience that'll keep coming back.
Exactly.
So that you can keep doing this. So,
Vic's got broadband.
Answer your question.
So this person says there's the line, and then there's Dave building a house. I don't know what that means. I've crossed the line.
And you're very comfortable there. You live. Okay. Yeah.
I've gotten tired of comics showing up, and the first thing they ask is, when do I get paid? I've got in the habit of saying, when you're funny.
Wait.
Who's this?
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, there was that dude that did some interpretive style of comedy? I think you were there that Sunday.
Where?
At the Box. He did the weirdest comedy thing ever. He looked like he was stoned out of his mind.
The white guy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
That dude emailed Nick on Monday. And he's like, yo, so do I have to invoice you to get paid? How does this work?
Have you had enough of comics going? Yes. And this is pro comics too. Who go over their time. They know they've gone over their time. Mm. So Prince went a little bit over time in this thing, but he was doing well, like, and you could see he just wanted to get that gig under his belt. Mm. But he had gone over time. So he's got 15 minutes at Parker's, which goes to the 10 o'clock, you got to be off before 10.
You got to be off quarter to 10.
The break goes to 10, the headliner goes on at 10.
Yeah.
And he was already at 10 saying goodnight. And he said, and he looked at the window, he said, how much time have I got? Have I got another 2 minutes? He's like, no, Ryu. You're a pro. Get a watch and know how long you've been on. Don't say how much time have I got.
If you're closing a show, I really believe if a comic is closing a show and there's no show happening afterwards, let him rip.
Yeah, have fun.
If it's dope and the people are digging it, that thing of how much time I have left, you know, bruh. Because Parker's is flashing you, fuck. Those guys flash you continuously. And then it also just makes it weird because no, for the
audience don't know.
Yes, because the organizers are going, bro, you know the rules. The audience are going, why are you taking our friend away? If you're the sound guy and you
it
go.
It makes it weird for, yeah, the audience. If you
audience
get,
has
if
no
you
idea that you've got a time.
Well. Yes. Yeah. Now the audience are like, why? We're enjoying
we
it.
We didn't know that. We didn't know that it was a time limit on how long you had to. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that's.
And the host coming on at the end of the show, if the show
Durban,
was dope.
Durban acts, I feel like they stay, maybe it's just the culture there. They do long. Those guys don't know 7, 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That my super.
They always come on and like do 20, half an hour, and you're like, dog, you support.
But don't you feel sorry for the audience going, so what, we don't like, want to leave you at 11:30. We've been here since 7.
Yeah, bro. That's the other thing. It's the whole idea of a show. Yeah. No one can watch comedy for 4 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is. It's like...
So every gig in so here we go. Is like ozone.
There are a few... So then... Yeah, he knows what you mean. This is... Hey, Vic's on a mission, yeah.
Vic is listening and...
But there's a picture of some very famous comedians sitting at a table with Julius Malema. What do you feel about a host doing another 5 minutes after the show's ended?
If it's needed.
Oh, I hate that. No.
I don't think it's needed.
In the show.
You can actually say to the guys, that was weird. Please see you again next time. We'll try this again.
I watch people kill a show. Someone blaze.
Weird blaze.
And then.
Come on and do another five.
And then he does another five, and it's like, oh, okay.
This wasn't necessary.
I don't because think. Here's a piece of science about it is that the people do not judge an event by how it goes, but by how it ends.
Yeah, and when you play your best song at the end of a concert,
yeah, that's
you know
why.
What I mean.
That's why we all. Mm. I've watched guys die for 7 minutes and then kill at the end and get an applause off the stage. You judge something by how it ends. So if you, as a host, come on at the end and die
and try and up that,
you literally people walk away feeling weird about it.
Now you've taken the full
you're
3 hours
away
and fucked it up.
That 3 hours. So,
we're not making rules
it's
here.
It's like when you're hosting and your link, there's a clap there, but it's in the middle of your joke. End don't it. Feel the need to
yes,
play
yes, exactly.
Go. Keep the round of applause going.
I've actually sat at the box, especially when I've said, that's the time you should have brought the act on.
Yes.
And then they went, ooh, a clap. And it's also just our egos, because you're hearing the clap and you're going, shit, I'm going to try that joke. It'll work now.
When someone says, do you want to host? They're saying, do you want to do comedy and it's not about you?
Mm. Yeah.
It's friendly, nice.
Yeah, you're there for everybody else when you're hosting.
I don't think a host has to do a link in between everything.
No.
You know, when if
you do a hot 10 up front and they trust you, that means whenever you go, and this is your next act, they
I have
you.
Asked
they
the
go,
comedian first,
no,
I've said, if this guy pumps it, can I bring you on that applause that he leaves on?
Yes.
And he's like, yes, please do so. But it's if you come out there and then someone's having a cigarette, someone's noisy, your job as a host is to get them to quiet.
Get them.
No, but
if he's blazing, say, thanks very much, that was Prince, please welcome Bongani Dube.
Yes.
And then they're like, yes, what's going on?
Give us more. Yeah.
But you know the problem is in South Africa right now with the gigs is that our shows are too long. So we suck up every bit of comedy an audience has in them for the month. So then they go, the next time I'm at the comedy club, it's going to be next month. It's not going to be this
next week
or next week. So in Australia and New York, a show happens, the tables in the comedy gigs are tiny. There's no
rotation of
it's like a rotation. So you to leave the cellar, you need to show your receipt. That's how you bounce. That's your ticket. So it's a 2-drink minimum. Then the next crowd, the next audience, they're lined up outside waiting to walk in. In Australia, some of the gigs at the festival, the host didn't even come back on stage. He just has his mic off stage.
Yes.
You saw Dave Levinson, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Eric Janssen.
That's it.
And he comes, so the shows are in blocks.
But in a sense, that's an evolution.
Yeah.
Where we may be in a few years.
Yeah. But also, look, I understand that in these places, there's a nightlife. Yeah. We have a club life, not a nightlife. That's two totally
cafe
different
society,
things.
That sort of continental vibe.
New York, Sydney, people are going to eat at freaking 1 a.m, going to have dinner at a proper restaurant. We're not thinking like that. And that's because of many reasons, transportation, all that stuff. But I also feel like we do these shows where we're trying to keep people in a place as long as possible. Whereas in, it should be a comedy club, go to the club and party somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we should be starting another show at 10:30.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Instead of trying to...
Well, 20 and 5 kind of does that rotation.
But I understand. Do you what I mean? That's a complete different mindset of having.
But I think we need a push towards that because, like you say, the audience don't know.
Yeah.
We're educating people.
So you got to say to me, you've had your comedy at 10:30. We're closing the club. We turn these tables around. There's a late show at 11.
Yeah. So, the way we run a show, many people when you host whatever's happening, and you say, "Whose first time is it at a comedy club? Whose first time is it?"
A lot of hands go.
A lot of hands go up.
Yeah.
So you're schooling these people. Yeah. So we still have that control to go,
This is hard work.
Were you shocked when you went to Sydney now?
Yeah. Sydney.
Who was with
Perth.
You, to me, John?
Alfred. And Dusty Rich.
You shocked at the way that's run. Like, it's just, and the audiences get it. They also schooled in that.
I had an idea because I was there last year and also from New York because New York don't play around. New York is very much, this is the comedy bounce. Yeah. And the other thing that these places have that we don't do enough of is they get hecklers out of a club.
Now, that's another thing. On Saturday at Parker's, I wanted the bouncer to throw those people out. And you know what the complaint came through? The comedians didn't handle it properly.
You see.
So a punter, let's call him a fan.
The fan
said the comedians didn't deal with the rowdy table on Twitter. So the guy didn't, obviously it's one of those eggs, but he says the comedians didn't handle it properly. So now I'm like, we were trying our best to go, lady, keep quiet now.
Yeah.
And she just wouldn't stop. Now, when you burn someone and you roast them, they go, hey, you're the guy with the mic, you got me.
Hmm.
And they back down. I find that maybe guys, some drunk guys will do that. But this chick and her friends and the boyfriends were just saying comments at everything. As soon as you said it, saying you're setting up your joke, I was in New York. Like, I've been to New York. It was just weird and constant. But that means that the person should say, guys, we're shutting the club down for 2 minutes. We just want to deal with something. Jock, play some music. You get the guys over there. And that, have you ever seen security, proper security, not Parker security, at Monty? How serious they are.
Oh, no, you mean like for Monty. Oh, yeah, they were very serious people. Yeah.
So I just wanted, and I felt that maybe Mojack as a host wasn't strong enough to go, guys, I just want to sort something out quickly. Can we have a quick 2 minute break? You can do that as a host. And then you walk off, play some music, and say, listen, these guys need to leave. And then they get up. The audience would have gone, yes.
Yeah, but this is my thing.
But they're spending money.
I've seen it at that club many times. The bouncer at the club and the managers, they stand and look at a heckler.
And they're loving it. They think it's fun.
At Kitcheners, we get the bouncer at Kitcheners. We're like, take this person out. Yeah. We've spoken to
them. This is a show.
We've already done a gag. Two gags maximum. Now we shut you down, but now you're trying to fight your ego. Yo, go do that somewhere else, bro.
The guy didn't like the fact that I just kept quiet because I had enough. I just stood on stage and the woman said, I've got a joke about a man's and toti. And the fact that it takes place there means, so you think of white trash, think of trailer, you think of those things. It sets up the tone for the joke.
Mm.
She said, I've been to a man's and toti. I went there on holiday. And you're like, now what? But loud enough for the comedians here, the room couldn't hear. They couldn't hear what was going on.
So
I'd explain to him. I said, guys, we got a bit of a drunk table in the front here who feel, and she's like, you're not funny. If you were funny, we'd be quiet.
What?
So now they can't hear that. So I'm like, no, it's the other way around. Be quiet so I can do my job.
Then
I said to him, like, I've done this for a very long time. I don't have to prove to you that I'm funny. So I'm going to stop talking.
Here's
you don't deserve my jokes.
I honestly think that hecklers aren't necessary. And hecklers feel necessary.
There are clubs in England that are well known for hecklers. It's called the River Bullshit Club or something in England. There's another club that are very well known. But their hecklers are pros.
If it's a show where you're supposed to heckle, which I don't, do they exist at all?
Not in
like where you go.
I've seen Jimmy Carr do it.
But I meant like, if you go to the club and you're supposed to be heckled, by all means heckle. But if you paid money at the door, why are you talking during the show? Especially for the comic to hear it. That's the...
And also, I don't know.
It's a bit of alcohol.
Look. Some people can handle...
15 rand tequila.
Some people can really handle a heckler. And shut it down.
But have you ever had the officers come tell you, did you see what I did there? I helped the show, hey?
That's the thing. They think they helped the show. It's like, you didn't. You distracted from what the show should be. Like, you took away from what the person brought. They brought a show.
You never go and watch Shakespeare or some sort of play and shout. That's not true.
No.
My mother.
The problem is that we made it look good.
So some people are interested. Last week I was here.
That's what the show is
about. Handled this guy so well. Yeah. I want to do it. I want to be that person.
And it's like, no, we'd rather actually not have to deal with you. We don't even. That's why the room is dark. We actually don't care about you. We're just here for your laughter.
Look how the spotlight's on.
Yeah.
It's on me.
It's on me. And the spotlight helps me not to see you. So it's not about you at all.
But it was very tense for me. I felt like a violent rage, like, you know, the back of your, like, the proper survival techniques. Like, my adrenaline was pumping.
No, that's what
my
happened.
My mouth went dry, and I was like, I'm either going to fight now, fight or flight. I was in that mode when I just stopped, because I was like, my career could be over tomorrow if I kick this person.
People don't know how close they are to getting their mouths kicked in.
No, there was, and you're on top of the stage there. But listen, we haven't got any rules yet. I think the key is comedy rules.
But I do think it's a club's responsibility to create an environment that allows the comics to have the best chance. So I get upset when...
But don't, it's a host things, job.
Small... No, like...
We've got to wrap
whatever,
it up.
Whoever's done the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think it's like, how is the sound? How are people seated? Things like security. How do we handle hecklers? And stuff like that. Because I'm putting on a show here that's about stand-up.
It's an art.
So let me give that a chance. Oh. Because that's what brings people
back.
Well,
then back. I'm very glad no that at Kitchener's that you have a rule like that.
Nobody's going to... Yeah, we kick people out of Kitchener's.
That's good. And if Kitchener's can do it, then other clubs other can also clubs have can that. And we'll you're not losing R1 million. The guy, if a guy's got a 10,000 rand bill, you may be keeping there. But you're not losing much money from throwing
a few
drunk students out.
90% of the time, they appreciate the fact that you kicked the heckler out.
Yes.
Because
Robbie, can you say goodbye and good luck for Grahamstown?
Goodbye. Thank you for the luck for Graham. So.
And Loyal, driving alone, you can masturbate in the car then, obviously. That's why.
Yeah, I can, because I have cruise control.
Fantastic.
that's what happened. Were you doing that when you crashed Popov's car?
I never thought about using cruise control like that.
That's Eric's going to be driving, so I'll be Ryan, masturbating next year.
I just want to say, thanks to our guest today, because as a new comic, that was very informative.
Thank you. And I hope other comics are listening.
You one of the new comics we're talking about. Fuck it.
The whole time. This was a fucking... This was an intervention.
It was an intervention.
The thought was crossing my mind. But
my name is Dave Levinson. Who are you?
My name is Eric Hansen, and we will see you again just now.
This is CliffCentral.com.